Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education. My name is Terry Rowland. I'm your hostess for this evening. And as always, we are brought to you through the good offices of a great group of patriots, patriotfamilies.com. I urge you, all of you out there listening, to come and join us for our radio shows every night of the week. Visit our website, www.patriotfamilies.com, where you'll meet and interact with people who believe, really believe, deep down, that yes, we are the nation. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk about what my friend Yolanda calls one of my favorite topics, the pernicious easy button. I see the effects of the easy button every single day, given what I do for a living. Really, it isn't for a living because nobody could live on what I'm paid, but that's okay. Fortunately, I have other sources of income, being ancient and eligible for Social Security. So I can do what I love, even though it doesn't pay a great deal. And yes, Linda, oh yes, it's the easy button. Everybody who's listened to this show more than once has heard me say how much I hate the easy button commercials for Office Max or Home Depot or whatever the heck the silly thing is. I've blocked out of my memory the name of the company simply because the idea of an easy button is what is ruining our nation. Thank you. My friend Yo reminds me it's Staples. I'll forget it again before the end of the show. On purpose, I promise. I had a student today, a sixth grader, to whom I gave a 5-page story to read in his literature textbook. He spent at least 10 minutes telling me how long it was and how hard it was and how he didn't understand it because I wouldn't let him have a piece of paper to answer the questions before he read the story. He, like most of the other students, in the school where I work, has been taught that if you're going to be asked to read a selection in a textbook, you're given the questions you're to answer about that selection first, and then you hunt and peck through the story to find a keyword and copy down whatever sentence has that keyword as an answer to your question. Thus, it isn't hard. You don't have to think. You don't have to read. You don't have to comprehend anything that the story is about. Because if it's hard, then it's not fair. I had another student in my class today, another sixth grader, who cannot read and has to have everything read aloud to him. Don't ask me how he got to sixth grade, because you won't like the answer. He was socially promoted, so his self-esteem would not be damaged by being held back when his friends, who can read, are promoted to the next grade. I am sure he has an IEP, an Individualized Education Plan, which states that everything he has to learn, if it is written, must be read aloud to him because he cannot read it for himself. My friend Linda has an absolutely brilliant deduction. She says the libtards and news media bobbleheads went with the easy button, and now they can't read, and it all makes sense. And yes, ma'am, it does. I read an article, which may not seem relevant to my topic tonight, but it is if you think about it. The article, there was a link to it on, I believe, it was probably The Blaze, but I'm not absolutely positive. But it was an article about, no, I know what it was. It was an article in Smithsonian Magazine that was looking at the higher incidences of asthma and other allergic reactions among people in developing and underdeveloped countries. And the researchers expected to find that the higher incidence was directly related to the degree of pollution, air pollution, water pollution, etc., from industrial waste in the highly developed countries. They discovered that, strangely enough, the statistics didn't match. The conclusion they came to was that the reason for the higher incidences of allergies and asthma and other types of physical difficulties children experienced had nothing whatsoever to do with the pollutants in the air. It had to do with the fact that they were being raised in sterile environments. Their resistance to disease or infection was abnormally low. Their immune systems didn't function well because they had been sterilized to within an inch of their lives. From birth, they were not permitted to be exposed to germs and bacteria and nasty stuff like dirt. And so when they do meet dirt and germs and bacteria from other human beings with whom they have to interact in school or at work or at play, their immune systems cannot fight off the possible diseases these germs can cause. And that includes viruses. Because we have given them the easy button of we'll make it sterilized for you so you never have to develop any strength of your own. Your immune system doesn't ever learn to fight because it's never exposed to anything that it has to fight. I personally believe that this is one factor in the increase in diagnoses of autism spectrum disorders. There is a well-developed theory that autism and autism spectrum disorders are related to autoimmune problems. Again, we vaccinate our children at birth, practically, against the typical childhood diseases that those of us over the age of 50 contracted fought off and recovered and gained immunity to because we were exposed to them. In a sense, our sterilized lives carry over into education, ladies and gentlemen. Our children are not being exposed to that awful, horrible, profane, four-letter word, work. They are being told that there is an easy button for everything. That if something is difficult, that means you don't have to do it. One of my favorite analogies that I use on a daily basis when I have students in ISS is to compare doing math to cleaning toilets. Believe me, this terrifies and horrifies and insults mathematicians. Not that I care whether they're terrified, horrified, and insulted, but it does because they assume that I mean math is a dirty, germ-filled subject. I don't. I mean that if math isn't easy for you, okay, or isn't pleasurable and fun for you, the assumption that you don't have to do it is just as absurd as the idea that I don't like to clean toilets, so I don't have to do it, which probably means that I will be ill most of my life because of the germs that build up in my filthy toilet. Our children are being told that if it's hard or if it isn't fun, then I don't have to learn it. Especially our children who have difficulties in learning things. My husband was eternally grateful that his diagnosis of dyslexia happened in 1953 and not 1993. Because had he been born in a different time, after 1980, he would have been told that his dyslexia meant that he did not have to even attempt to learn to read, that someone would do it for him because he couldn't help it, that it was hard for him. Fortunately for him, and if he were here today, he would be nodding his head on the sofa behind me, his parents told him, this is going to be harder for you than it is for most of the other kids in class. That means you're going to have to work a lot harder to get it. So he did. He got help. His mother sat down with him and created a sandbox where he formed the letters with his finger so that his tactile memory would be stimulated as to which direction an A or a B or a C went. She sat down with him when he did his homework and helped him understand how to decode and how to cope with his learning disability, not how to use it as an excuse not to put forth extra effort. Our public education system is so in love with the pernicious easy button that if a child is not deliriously happy and having fun 24 hours a day, they are being abused. That our kids have no clue that when they accept a job, they're supposed to show up on time, be there when they're scheduled to work, and put forth an effort while they're there. Because it's hard, and they don't like it, and it's not fair. As my friend Linda says, that is part of the reason why we have high unemployment. It's not the only factor, ladies and gentlemen, but it is a factor. The other factors consist of a changeover from a manufacturing economy to a service economy, the increase in technology, which means manual labor is now often done by machines, which require a different kind of learning and a different set of skills than using a hammer and nails. We no longer need 150 construction workers because now we have prefabricated parts. We have machines that do the heavy excavating to create a foundation. We have computers that line out exactly where various things should go, electrical lines, etc. We have way more complex systems that we have to work with when we are building something. It is no longer the barn raising on an Amish farm. And believe me, I am not downgrading the Amish, God bless them, because they understand what work is. Our kids don't. The internet and the technology that gives us access to it is a tremendous boon. It is a wonderful thing. The opportunity to have at your fingertips in your own living room what I used to have to drive to the library and spend 4 hours looking for is incredibly wonderful. But if you can't read it when you pull it up on the screen, what good does it do you? If you are taught that plug and chug, look for a keyword, write down the sentence it's in, and obviously the answer will be correct, what use is this incredible wealth of information out there for the taking? What use is a calculator if a child pulls it out to add 2 plus 2 and reliably get 4? Because they can't do it in their head. I spent a half an hour today explaining to a sixth grader that if you multiply 7 times 5 and get 35, then when you divide 35 by 5, you're going to get 7, and when you divide it by 7, you're going to get 5. He never knew that before. Math facts, memorizing addition facts, memorizing subtraction facts, understanding what the numbers mean. Understanding that multiplication and division are two sides of the same coin. Addition and subtraction are the same two sides of the same coin. If you add 5 plus 2 and get 7, 7 take away 2 will leave you with the 5, and 7 take away the 5 will leave you with the 2. Reasoning skills, ladies and gentlemen. Seeing the patterns and the relationships between numbers is a basic need in order to understand anything to do with math or arithmetic, from keeping a checkbook to understanding how many hours you worked, to figuring out whether or not your pay was shorted, to understand that overtime is time and a half, to be able to cook something from a cookbook that serves 6 and reduce the recipe to serve 4. Basic concepts, ladies and gentlemen, do not come from calculators. A calculator does you no good if you do not understand why you're pushing which button. Access to the World Wide Web and the infinite resources of information does absolutely nothing for you if you can't read it when you pull it up on your monitor. And walking into a voting booth, unable to understand what powers our Constitution gives to the people you are voting for, means you're going to vote for a pretty sounding phrase or a familiar name and have no clue why you have no job, no home, and no freedom once they get elected. The easy button, the it's too hard so it's not fair mentality, has seeped out from the special education departments of every school into every single class. In our efforts to provide an education to everyone, the opportunity to learn to everyone, we have bent backwards so far that we are looking up our rear ends, and the view is not very attractive. Obviously, children with learning difficulties need extra help. but they do not need the work done for them. That is not educating anyone, ladies and gentlemen. It's not learning. Learning requires a teacher and a student, both of whom are putting forth effort. It's a yin-yang kind of thing. The two have to go together like freedom and responsibility. The very best teacher in the world cannot teach someone who is unwilling to learn. The very brightest child cannot learn anything if the teacher is not teaching. If the teacher is telling you, look for the word, write this down, hand it in, I'll give you an A. That teacher is not teaching. If the student is looking for the word, filling in a blank with a sentence pulled at random from what they've read, they are not learning. I used another analogy with my students today. We are not supposed to be training parrots, ladies and gentlemen, in our public schools. Parrots can mimic the sounds they hear and sound just exactly like a college professor. But they have absolutely no clue what their mouthing means. Because they are parrots. They are expert mimics in the wild. It's how they confuse enemies and eat. Being a parrot is grand if you have wings, feathers, 2 feet, and live in a tree. It is not useful when you live in a complex economy and a global world. We are training parrots, ladies and gentlemen, not teaching children. And don't blame the teachers. Yes, there are bad teachers out there who only care about a paycheck and a fat retirement check. But they are in the minority. It is unfortunate that most of the representatives who are in their unions are bad teachers. That's why they're union reps. They make a heck of a lot more money spending the union dues than they do in a classroom. And they know it. Good teachers, and there are many. I work with good teachers, ladies and gentlemen. I know what a good teacher is. Are so frustrated that so many of them who could provide incredible intellectual wealth to your kids are leaving the profession because they can't stand it anymore. We were treated at school today to some delightful food, courtesy of our parent-teacher organization, for Teacher Appreciation Week. It was delightful. It was very tasty. It was very kind of them. We did feel appreciated. But I overheard a conversation between one of the parents who was there overseeing the food today and a teacher that I didn't say anything. Mainly because I am tactful and diplomatic, except on the air. And I didn't want to create problems. The teacher complained that teachers were not teaching their kids how to study. After saying that she had no clue when her child does his homework because she never sees him do any. Studying is something that you have to do outside the classroom. Studying means go over materials that you have been given, practicing the skills you have been taught, and asking questions of your teacher regarding the homework if you had difficulty with it, or the rubric for your project if you don't understand it. Studying is not something your teacher tells you how to do. Your teacher is busy spending their classroom hour trying to get everybody to shut up long enough to listen to the skill being presented. To have enough time to individually teach 25 children, okay, when you go home, you read this, you do these practice problems, you look at the explanation, and you follow the steps. And you keep doing it until you remember what the steps are, and you can do the problem without looking back at the steps again. And this was a good parent, ladies and gentlemen, a concerned parent, who cared about her son's grades, who wanted to make sure that her son was receiving the education which would fit him to be a productive citizen. But it's typical of the parental view that somehow or other, all teachers in classrooms have this magic wand that they go around and they tap the student on the head, and that immediately presents them with an easy button that all they have to do is sit there, and the easy button will learn for them. I had a full house in my ISS classroom this week, every single day, Monday through Thursday. My classroom is very small. I'd say that it's maybe 8 feet by 15. It will comfortably hold my desk, the cart that holds the printer for my computer, a cart with textbooks, two metal cabinets with additional teaching materials, and seven typical student desks. You know the kind, with the cutout top, flat surface, a little basket under the seat. Well, I had six people in my classroom every single day. Actually, 2 days I had seven people in there. It's a small room. Granted. I had to spend most of my time reminding these children that they were not supposed to talk, because none of them had enough self-control to close their mouths for longer than about 5 minutes. And this is in a classroom where if they do not comply with the rules, I send them out and they get sent home. And my classroom is considered to be punishment because they have to be silent and work. One of these days, one of the parents of somebody who's in my classroom is going to raise holy hell because their child is being abused by not being allowed to talk out whenever they feel like it and having to work all day. Because it's hard and it's not fair. Our nation has lost its way, ladies and gentlemen, in many areas. The revelations in the Benghazi hearings are symptomatic of what has happened to us. It's okay for the president to lie and not at all newsworthy because, oh, that happened last September, so it doesn't matter anymore. Well, if it's okay for the president to lie, what happened to the idea that we're supposed to look up to our leaders as role models? Under the current conditions, would you tell your son or daughter, work hard and study, and someday you might get to be president so that you can tell lies to the American public and everybody will pat you on the back and tell you you're wonderful? I certainly wouldn't tell my grandchildren that. I don't want them to grow up to be facile liars. I don't want them to be expedient liars. I don't want them to believe that honesty is just one of many character traits and you can do without it if you're funny. Excuse me, folks, I have a cold. Or if you're kind. Or if you're a good artist. Or if you can speak French really well. Or if you like animals. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I have been fighting off this cold all week. So you might have to listen to me coughing. I had one student that I had to kick out of ISS today because his version of a cough was a gagging croak that he didn't need to do, but he did because he enjoys disturbing everybody else's study time. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I will try to keep going as long as I can. My apologies, folks. As I said, I'll try to keep going as long as I can, but I don't have much voice left. If I have to end the show early tonight, guys, you have my apologies. I hope I don't have to, but I appreciate your patience and your willingness to hang on while I cough myself silly. But I don't have an easy button that'll make this go away. Unfortunately, my immune system has to fight. And fortunately, I grew up in a time when it learned how. So it's doing its best, and we just kind of have to have a little bit of patience, okay, and let it do its job. Again, my apologies for the dead air and for my coughing and hacking, but I really, really do get frustrated, ladies and gentlemen, because most of these kids that are so addicted to the easy button are perfectly capable of learning, and they have a lot to offer. Many of them are genuinely kind children who really care about each other. Many of them are just kids, you know, who just want to have a lot of fun and work isn't necessarily fun. And this is understandable. We don't expect 12, 13, 14-year-olds to think or act like 35-year-olds. But we cannot continue to keep them 12-year-olds, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we're doing. We are telling them that they must eternally remain children, that they must never face failure or difficulty or hardship, that somebody else is responsible for making their world perfect for them. And unfortunately, that lie ill-equips them to face the inevitable hardships and failures and consequences of their own choices once they are out from under the wings of their parents and their teachers. We are crippling our kids ladies and gentlemen, just as surely as if we had cut off their feet and then told them somebody else will carry them for the rest of their lives. We are telling them a lie. We are telling them that the world will bend over backwards to make their lives safe, challengeless, and comfortable for as long as they live. And that is not true. Obviously, I do not want any child to be abused or mistreated or forced back into the work in the factory and be crushed by a machine of the early 1900s, or sent down into a Welsh coal mine and die at 8 years old of lung disease. No, I do not want that, and neither does any person who is sane. But we cannot make life risk-free for anybody, ladies and gentlemen, including our children. As much as we would like to ensure and guarantee that they will never have to face trouble, it won't happen. I do not want to put them in dangerous situations. I do not want to tell them that they are worthless or that they are stupid or that they can't do this or they can't do that or that nobody cares about their progress. No. I do not want any of those things. What I do want is something that is in very short supply in government these days. Honesty. I don't want us to tell our kids, it's okay, you don't have to learn this because it's hard. I'm sorry, that's a lie. If you're going to live to adulthood, you're going to have to learn a lot of hard things. You're going to have to learn about things like loss and hunger and pain and anger and fear. I don't want to put children in the 1800s in the middle of an Indian attack and demand that they grab a hatchet and fight off a rampaging Sioux warrior at the age of 6. But I do want them to understand that their actions have consequences. They're not going to fully understand it until they are independent people. But our governmental system, as it is currently being run by progressives and Marxists, do not want your children to know the truth. The truth of the fact that life is not easy. That it entails risk. That what you do matters, because it doesn't just affect you. And that if you start out with one lie, pretty soon you have to add a dozen more to back up the first one. And inevitably, the house of cards you have built will fall around your ears. And the consequences will be much worse than had you told the truth at the beginning. We used to believe, ladies and gentlemen, in our justice system because we believed what the founding fathers built into it, that every individual is equal under the law, that power and privilege and wealth do not exempt you from having to abide by the laws of the land in which you live. How many government officials have we seen who have been elected to office who apparently do not understand or will not abide by that principle? I can name about 6 of them without even thinking too hard. What happens to our belief in ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, if we can no longer trust those things that we were brought up to believe were good and honest and true? Our own nation and its values. What can we believe in when everybody reaches for the easy button? Because telling the truth and taking the consequences is too hard, and it isn't fair. What do we do? Where are we going? And what direction are we sending our children? There is a way to teach children, all children, no matter their intellectual capability or their difficulties, to honor and respect themselves and others without the easy button and without doing things for them. Those of you listening who have raised children know that if you carry them around all the time, they will never learn how to walk. And they will be utterly dependent upon you forever. And yet, we turn around and we do exactly the same thing to them in school. We carry them as if they were babies. We tell them, no, you don't have to use your mind to try to figure out something that's hard, because it's not fair that it should be hard. So therefore, you don't have to do it. Well, doggone it. Fair is a four-letter word that my husband used to tell his daughters he didn't want to hear. The only fair is you being fair to others. If we all did that, yeah, maybe life would be fair. But we all don't. And we all never will. Because there are always going to be people who don't care about you. They care only about themselves. Are those the people we want our children to look up to and model themselves after? I don't think so. I was taught to look up to people who exhibited good character, who were honest and loyal and faithful and strong in adversity and hardworking and kind and compassionate. I wasn't told to look up to somebody simply because they throw an oddly shaped ball really, really well, or because they are a certain race and, gee, aren't we liberal because we elected them. I was taught what Martin Luther King said in his I Have a Dream speech, that a person should be judged by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. No easy buttons, folks. No, you're white, you're automatically perfect. You're black, you're automatically perfect. You're Hispanic, you're automatically perfect. You're Islamic, you're automatically perfect. You're Christian, you're automatically perfect. You're Jewish, you're automatically perfect. Nobody's automatically perfect. I'm sorry. It is your character and your actions that should be looked up to. And you are responsible for your character and your actions once you reach adulthood. When you are a child, your parents are responsible for training and molding and helping you develop a good character, not a keen sense of where the next easy button is. Part of the problem is that we do live in a society that already has lots and lots of easy buttons. I don't have to haul my laundry across the road and beat it on a rock in the river to get it cleaned. I put it in a machine, I push a button, and the machine washes it for me. So there are viable easy buttons. But into the development of human intellectual capacity and human character, there ain't none. That requires effort and practice and study and thinking. The whole assumption that we hear from the White House on down, that everyone is entitled to a college degree, is just one more easy button, palliative, covering the poisoned pill. No, I'm sorry. You are not entitled to a college degree. What you are entitled to is the opportunity to become educated enough to be able to pursue a college degree. Big difference there, folks. The financial bar to attending college has pretty much disappeared. We've made it that way with student loans no longer are based on need. They used to be. Part of the purpose for the PSAT and the SAT tests was to determine whether or not a student had earned a scholarship based on his or her intellectual achievement. Because the only way you could get a student loan was if you had high SAT scores and your family was poor. I had high SAT scores, but I couldn't qualify for a government student loan. My father made too much money. It's not the case now. Anyone and everyone qualifies for student loans. Just means that they're going to graduate from college, if they manage to stay in there that long, in debt to the tune of anywhere from $40,000 to $150,000, depending on where they go. But oh yes, you're entitled to go there. And you're entitled to make a lot of money. Oh really? No, you're not. You're entitled to give it a shot at trying to do a job well enough that you earn a lot of money. Easy button, folks. It's the easy button mentality because technology has given us so many to do the manual work that we no longer have to do. And unfortunately, we have extrapolated that and expanded that to cover the intellectual, emotional, and character-building work that we still have to do without the aid of technology. The misunderstanding that increased use of technology in school will automatically make everybody much smarter is another fallacious, pernicious, easy button. It won't. Calculators are wonderful things. I've said many times, if they'd been around when my husband was in school, he'd have been an engineer. But instead of being an aid, they have become a crutch. Is it any wonder that our kids get into the workforce and they can't remember the instructions for what their job entails for longer than 5 minutes? Because they never have to memorize anything. Everything's all pre-digested. They're perfectly capable of doing so. Any kid of six can probably recite at least a dozen television commercials and sing 30 or 40 songs he heard on his iPod. Or recite the names of all the characters in his video game. They memorize that because they're exposed to it over and over and over again. But oh my God, we can't use rote memorization anymore because it's old-fashioned and it doesn't really teach you anything. Yes, it does, and it also helps you develop your memory. And if you don't have one of those, you are out of luck in the real world, folks. I don't believe that we are going down for the count, ladies and gentlemen. I can't, because I'm an incurable optimist. If I believed we were done, over, everything was going to the hot place in a handbasket, I'd just go curl up and sleep my way into oblivion. But I can't do that. I'm too stubborn to give up. I won't give up. And I know that there are lots and lots of people out there listening and part of Patriot families who understand that despair is what kills people. When you decide that there is no future or that tomorrow can never be any better than today and will probably be worse, then you are metaphorically putting the gun to your head and pulling the trigger. We can make it better. But it takes work, ladies and gentlemen. It takes work of parents going over with their kids what they're learning, talking with them about it. Yes, I know you're tired because you work all day. To buy the kids the things they want, the Wii systems, the DSs, the $300 sneakers, the car when they turn 16, all of the other goodies that you think they are entitled to because you can afford to get them. Are they not entitled to a good character? Are they not entitled to parents who are role models of honesty, integrity, and a strong work ethic? Are they not entitled to the best chance you can give them by teaching them that their acts have consequences? And that learning, like any other valuable skill, takes practice and effort? I think they're entitled to those things. That's what being a parent is about. You can't hand your child over to the state, in spite of MSNBC's idea that children don't belong to you. They belong to the government. It doesn't surprise me that somebody can stand there and reiterate this after being called to account for it over and over and over again, because that's what the easy button does. And the parents of those kids who buy into that, they're looking for the easy button too. It's not easy to raise kids, folks. It's a job. It's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365 day a year job. And you don't get paid for it with something you can put in a bank. You may not even live long enough to get the payment for the work you put in. Your children and their children and their children's children hopefully will reap that reward. No easy button, folks. Doesn't exist outside of TV commercials. When it comes to the development of the human character and the human spirit, there's no automatic programmable chip you can stuff in your kid's ear that will take the place of you being a teacher and a parent and a role model. Modeling the behavior you want your child to learn and practice as they grow. You cannot hand your children over to the school system and expect the school system to be their parents. That's not what public school is for. That is not the purpose of education, any kind of education. Public education was intended to be the great leveler. The opportunity for all children, no matter what their economic background, their ethnicity, their parentage, all children would have the opportunity to learn things in a classroom with teachers who understood their subject and wanted to share what they knew with the next generation. That's what public education was supposed to be. Not surrogate parents, not counselors, not psychologists, not nurses, not doctors, not ministers, not political indoctrinators, teachers. And in order for a teacher to teach, there has to be somebody on the other end of the action who's actually trying to learn, who is listening and thinking about what they have heard, and not jumping up and down, throwing things, giggling, making gross noises to make everybody laugh, and then being patted on the head and told, we understand, you can't help it, just try not to do it anymore. And that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's going on. Our kids are being turned into the dependent slaves of a government that is perfectly sure that it knows better what your children should be than you do. They should be spending all their time waiting for someone to hand them the easy button. And of course, that someone is the government as God. Government has all the easy buttons in nice, neat little boxes. And they're going to be handing them out to all of us any day now. So all we have to do is push the button, and the magic happiness pill will make us glad to give everything we have to the government so it can be redistributed to people who don't have as much as we do. And your kids are being trained to look forward to that day. They're being trained to believe that it's socially unacceptable to be smart and show it. That it's not politically correct to believe that there is a difference between right and wrong, and that you should pursue right and avoid doing wrong. They do not want your children to understand these things or put them in practice. They want them to look up to people who feel that they are so wise and so powerful that truth doesn't exist. Truth is what they say it is. Truth is what they want you to hear. And if you hear something different, obviously it isn't truth. This is what our public education system, which was supposed to produce informed, educated, thinking citizens, is giving us. Looks like I have a caller. Hang on, folks. Hello there.
Oh, hi, it's me.
I knew it was you, darling. Recognize your area code. How are you tonight,
yeah,
Linda?
Pretty good. Just hanging out, trying to stay well. My, you know, getting over the old pneumonia. I'm doing better, so I just need
good
to rest.
I'm glad.
Yeah, so I want you to take care of your cold too. Wait, it's funny when you talk about the easy button, and then you equate it to all the wonderful things that we have, like the microwaves and the great washing machines with bells and whistles.
Uh-huh.
And that's all very well and good, but you can't translate that into, you know, the other areas, because wishing it so doesn't make it so.
Exactly correct.
You cannot achieve much, whether it's intellectual or whether it's a talent-wise thing or a skill of cooking or whatever you plan to do,
mm-hmm,
without effort and a whole lot of it. Now, it's
you're right there, dear.
Have you ever watched the little munchkin from, say, 6 months or so, and they go from sitting to crawling to walking? Well,
uh-huh,
that's because they're not afraid to put the work in, because no one's ever indoctrinated them yet on the easy button, and thank God they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly correct.
For, so,
forever. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So mm-hmm, there is, you know, that's just like the basic explanation of it. But it doesn't matter whether it's understanding history or critical thinking or whatever, or being a great chef, or even someone that knows how to put on somebody's roof.
Mm-hmm.
How would this be possible? I mean, how can anybody in the progressive land even justify thinking that it could ever be possible just by looking at Poe? It is beyond my comprehension. I don't get it.
Yeah. Huh? But then, as we both know, darling, progressivism, liberalism is a mental disorder.
Exactly.
You can't
think. Savage wrote that book, I know.
Yeah. You cannot think cognitively and be a progressive or a liberal.
Right.
It's not possible. If you do any thinking, immediately all the holes show up. And the nice tight basket you're carrying your ideas in all of a sudden becomes empty. So not thinking is exactly what they need, because otherwise you're not going to buy the garbage that they sell.
Right.
You'll see the holes. The emperor's new clothes, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's very, very bizarre. And
that is the leitmotif of it. Don't teach kids to think, because then they'll know we're telling them a bunch of you know what. Okay.
Right.
If we teach them to think, they won't vote for us, and we can't have that.
And then you've got the same. You know, you can when you look at the spectrum and you see how the media handles this Benghazi thing. It's just amazing to me. And these Congress people on the other side of the aisle, acting like spoiled third graders.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word. And
there's
the same old talking points, and people like Juan Williams, it's like I sit there and I just go, dear God, what in God's name is, you know, what are they smoking? It's like they really believe this diatribe. They really believe it.
It amazes me. They can't ever have, you know, the only thing I can think of, Linda, really, the only thing I can think of is that about 10% of them are just mentally ill enough to believe it. The other 90% are manipulative, evil, conniving thieves who figured out a way for you to hand them your wallet so they don't have to put forth the effort to reach in and take it.
And Hillary's in that camp because which I have a whole thing
anybody
that I talk
who
a little
idolizes,
bit about.
Honey, anybody who idolizes Margaret Sanger.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay,
and then,
sorry.
I was reading from David Horowitz's little pamphlet talking about her little thesis when she graduated from Wellesley.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, she's, you know, got the Alinsky model down pat, and she talked about our form of government several times in her thesis being a democracy. And I thought, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And we know that she lies. And so what they do is they manipulate, and they once tell it often enough, just like Hitler and Bernays and Goebbels, it starts to be believed, because that's what they've been doing. They've been shoving it, you know, and shoveling it and shoveling it, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, I think the people like Juan Williams and there's a whole group of them at PMS, LSD, and CNN, I think their combined IQ is maybe 55.
I think you're being generous, baby.
But you know what I mean? It's just amazing. And then the other ones, like you say, with the Susan Rices and the Obamas and the Holders and the Big Sis and the Hillary, these are outright lies. They know what they're saying. This is the amorality and political expediency and lying for those reasons, to me, is abhorrent. All this stuff is just too damned important. This is life and death stuff. Four people died, among many others, that probably haven't even been talked about. This, you know what I'm saying? People have got to understand that this nonsense with left-right paradigm, ideology, whether it's, you know, up, down, or sideways, has got to be put on the shelf until this mess gets clean. And they love it that people are stupid because they don't know that they're lying.
Exactly.
And it's too much fun, way too much fun to watch Dancing with the Stars than have to deal with bloody truth. You know, and so it's sad, but, you know, that's where we're at. And Gail and I were talking on Facebook today that we have to put duct tape over our mouths on Mother's Day because we can't speak. I said, oh, how old Soviet of us.
Because
it's true. It's true. So that's where we are. And there's a lack of education, you know, and I know Ben and Thomas and George all said the same thing, and I know John Adams and Quincy Adams and the rest of them said the same thing. This will not work unless there is a moral, educated body politic. This will not stand, and that's what's going. And they knew it. They knew it.
Of course they did. They've been doing this for almost 100 years now, just shy of 100 years.
Right.
Because the whole progressive educational system began in the 1930s.
Or maybe even before, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, it got actually implemented in the 30s because that's when the outgrowth from Wilson into FDR, okay, because people were starving to death and they would have accepted anything that promised them,
sure,
yet you're going to live till tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
Just like the Weimar Republic. Yeah, just like what happened with the Weimar and the Chancellor saved the day.
Exactly correct.
There
yes.
you go.
When you have desperate people, they will turn to the biggest, most evil devil on earth if he promises
yep.
them a full belly.
And another easy button.
You know, and I will too. If I'm starving to death, I'll do just about anything to get something in my stomach. I am no saint. I am no miraculous Mother Teresa. I am just as hungry as the next guy. And this is how we get manipulated. When
sure.
we realize that that's exactly what's being done to us, and many
sure.
of us are now realizing it,
mm-hmm.
that's when the tables will get turned. That's why I don't give up, Linda, and I'm pretty sure that's why you don't give up either.
Right, and I was so happy with Trey Gowdy. I mean, what he's been saying has just, I'm like, every time I watch the little clips of him just
mm-hmm.
laying it out in no uncertain terms, I just applaud and scream and yell at my computer. I'm like, yay, somebody, you know.
It's that two-edged sword of technology. The
mm-hmm.
powers that be, the progressive idiots, want to use it with the national media to, in effect, brainwash you into thinking they're wonderful. And then that wonderful internet that they're so busily dumping stuff on has a whole
mm-hmm.
bunch of other people who can dump things too, and they're dumping truth. And people
exactly.
are seeing it.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
and I love Glenn Beck's stuff, and I did watch the For the Record that he has, and it was talking
mm-hmm.
about the sex slaves and
mm-hmm.
the Muslim Brotherhood and the Coptic Christians and all this stuff that's going
yes.
on in Africa, all throughout the Middle East and many parts of Africa. And so,
yes.
I mean, the persecutions, the outright slaughter of these people because
it's
of
sickening.
What they believe. Yeah, this is definitely another rise. This is like the Ottoman Empire all over again. This is a caliphate, and you cannot call it anything else. So,
and unfortunately, because we as a society and our national character believe in our freedom to worship as we please, many of us make the assumption that other people take that as seriously as we do. They don't.
No.
The fundamentalist Islamist doesn't believe in freedom of religion. They cannot. Because the Quran states that if you wish to be counted, you must be Muslim. Because you are going to hell if you're not.
Right.
So how can
and it
you
also
have freedom
teaches
of religion?
Them, yeah. Right. You have. It also teaches them horrible things to do to the infidels, so that's not good.
Yes,
I do believe that Jefferson said, you're doing this because what? I need
mm-hmm.
a copy of this book. And he did.
Uh-huh.
He made sure that he got, because he's going, this is insane. Well, you're dealing
yes.
with insane people.
Yes,
you know,
you are.
And it's real hard for I come across this all the time in my local groups, and I go, why is it so hard for them to grasp that there is evil in this world and that that this is the natural state, barbarism and tyranny, and you know
yes.
that type of thing, and slavery.
Yeah.
Why is it
it's
so maybe is it because
the
they
reason
have read
it's
zero?
So, yeah, that's part of it, and part of it is they make the unwarranted assumption that non-thinking people always make, that everybody else, if you get to know them, is going to be just like you. No, they're not.
Right. That's correct.
They also
and,
do not understand. And this is, you know, this goes into this anti-bullying crap that they're doing in the schools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
It's this ridiculous assumption that somehow or other that every human being is angelic, you just need to kindly peel away the layers
right.
and the angel will come out. They also
well, you know,
do not understand that bullies, whether they're North Koreans or Islamists or the kid who steals mm-hmm. your lunch money, they bully because they have no self-esteem of their own. The only way they can feel important and valuable
right.
is if they're intimidating somebody else. I'm
right.
special because Allah likes me. I'm special because I'm bigger than you are. I'm special because I have a nuke pointed at you.
Exactly.
It's not, I'm special because I'm a person of good character. No, of course not. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just bigger and meaner, and I can make you do what I want you to. That makes me special.
I'll right, and I think what's going to happen is the rude awakening is going to come when this very thin, sheer veneer of a civil society breaks down, and then all hell breaks loose, and they're going to go, why are they doing this? You know, this is just, it's sad to me. It really is sad, and nobody is preparing them. And even if I were to try to explain it to them, they would look at me like I was from Mars, because they wouldn't understand where I'm coming from. And that's sad. It really is. And
it
that
is.
We do need people to trust. And when we've got Libya and the Benghazi and the lies and the manipulation and you can't trust anyone but your mother and God, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
you know, that's what Glenn was saying, and he's right. So we must take it upon ourselves to take that stand and know ourselves inside and out, and
position know thyself.
Stick to it.
Yep.
True.
It's understanding. You know, the other thing that I see so much with my little miscreants in my little jail, I tell all of them, listen to me, because they'll all busily tell each other to stop doing something. I said, okay, no, you don't get to do that. I do. I said, the only person in your life over whom you will ever have 100% control is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you controlling yourself, if everybody did that, you wouldn't have to tell people not to do stuff.
Sure.
It has to come as an individual. And this is the other flaw in progressive thinking. Mechanistic view of humanity, that we are somehow machine parts, that if you just tinker with us enough, we'll all mesh nicely like the cogs in the nearest grist mill. We won't. We are not machines. We are individuals, and we will remain so, until and unless we all get killed and the Borg take over.
Well, you see, this is the thing, because these people actually believe that they can change human nature, and they've been trying to do it since Babylon, and it's never going to work. And so this is what is so frustrating for you and me and others who understand human nature and history, for the love of peace.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God, and thank God I was taught to learn and how to learn and how to think and, you know.
God bless your parents and your teachers, honey.
Absolutely. Oh, yes, amen. And my mentors when I was later out of school and working and then taking class to learn how to be a dancer. And, I mean, these people were just... Talk about hard work. Oh my gosh, you think we had cute bodies just because, you know, our muscles were working?
We were born
We were sweating so much, the fat had nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
It had no choice. Work our butts off. Oh, my Lord. Talk about work ethic.
You don't see fat professional dancers, sugar.
Precisely. Unless they let themselves go. But the young ones, they don't get hired, usually. But
well, if they let themselves go, they're no longer professional because nobody's going to hire them, just like you said.
And they can't do partner work because no one's going to try to lift them. Ha-ha. Anyway.
God forgive. God forbid, Hernia City.
I'm going to let you wind it up, and God bless you. Take care of that cough, and just keep pressing. I keep pressing. I'm going to keep doing my show, so... God bless.
With bless
I'll go
you.
Back to the chat room. Thanks, honey.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
For fan, hon. As always, I always enjoy hearing my California bird of paradise. Excuse me, folks. Small cough break. I'll be right back. Again, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, for the dead air. We only have a few minutes left tonight. About 15 of them. So I may end the show a little bit early this evening. And I'm sorry to have to do that. Although some of you are probably thinking, thank fortune, she's finally going to shut up. But I do want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, like the intro music to this program, you are the nation. You can change things. If you stand up and speak out for what you believe. And if you say no. Remember the Just Say No to Drugs campaign? Well, how about just say no to expanding, controlling government? How about saying no? It works really well with telemarketers, and there's the hang-up ploy, too. But you've got to stand up for exactly what you believe. And before you can do that, you have to know what you believe and why you believe it. And you have to teach your children what you believe and why you believe it. And you have to avoid the easy button approach to character development. Use all the easy buttons to wash your clothes and microwave your meals and set up your coffee and change the channel on your television and record shows on your satellite dish and play with your Wii and your Nintendo DS and your computer. Use technology to learn, but technology cannot learn for you. Technology cannot develop your character. Only you and those who teach you can, by modeling the kind of character they wish you to have. My parents modeled compassion, integrity, honesty, and reason, which is kind of why I turned out the way I did. I like me. I know what I believe and why I believe it. I know that people are inherently flawed, but that doesn't mean they can't be better tomorrow than they were today. But in order to do that, it has to come from inside the individual, not from government regulation or handouts or slave colors. Government cannot make you into a good person, ladies and gentlemen. Only you can do that, by your actions and interactions with the rest of the beings with whom you share this earth. Government cannot give you anything without taking it first from someone else. You can help other people. You do not need government to do it for you so you can sit back and play with your easy buttons. If you model the there is no easy button in character for your children, even the public schools that get them 7.5 hours a day, 9 months a year, 5 days a week, cannot damage their growing character. Only you can do that by turning them over to government to raise. Your children belong to you, ladies and gentlemen, and God, not to government. They are not the community's property. They are not anybody's property. They belong to you only because they belong with you, with bonds of love and tenderness and kindness and teaching and strictness when required and know when it's necessary. Government cannot be their parent. The teacher in their classroom cannot substitute for you. If you want them to be successful human beings, then you have to teach them the kind of character they must have to achieve that. You can't hand that job over to anyone else and see them become what you wish them to be. They need you. You are their first, best teacher. Not only by what you say, but by what you do. I know that all of you out there listening understand this. Now the job is to get your neighbors and your friends and your family members to also understand it. Don't hand over your rights in your children because you don't want the responsibility of pursuing their character growth. You cannot give them over to a state institution and expect them to become the kind of person you wish them to be. There is no one-size-fits-all. There is no easy button. Government cannot mold your child into a person of integrity and character. Only you and what you teach them can start that process. If you start it right, they will mold themselves. They will learn from their life experiences and not hide from them or expect someone else to make them go away or to give them a do-over. You as parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, mothers, fathers, cousins, you can teach them by the way you act what it means to be a person of good character, so that they will truly be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, the church they go to, or who their great-granddaddy was. It's your job, folks. We who teach will do everything we can to help you if you let us. If you recognize your responsibilities and let us do the job that you want us to do, educate them academically, give them the skills that will allow them to become lifelong learners. You teach them the character that says, I sit quietly and listen. I do my work. I do my homework. I study for tests. I ask questions about the work if I don't understand, and I don't expect it to magically land in my head simply by sitting there and going to sleep. And for God's sake, ladies and gentlemen, please do not ever tell a child, that's okay, you can't help it, you don't have to try. Please do not cripple your children with that kind of lie. Reward them and praise them for their successes and their efforts, but never ever tell them that they don't have to put forth an effort. Please do not do that to your child. Thank you so much, folks, for joining me this evening. And as I said, I'm going to probably have to end the show a little early tonight. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm kind of losing my voice here. But thank you for joining us again. Please come and visit us every Thursday here on Blog Talk for Patriot Education. And join us every other day of the week for all of our shows. And meanwhile, remember that you are the kind of character you would like your children to be. You are. If that isn't the case, then you better look inside and examine just exactly who you are, because they are going to model you. Whatever you do, they are going to model it. Good night, everyone. May God bless you all. And my love always to my biggest fan.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.